1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the deaths of two of Iran's most influential figures, one of them a possible successor to the Ayatollah Khamenei. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Iran's president and foreign minister have been killed in a helicopter crash in a mountainous region up near the border with Azerbaijan. President Ibrahim Raisi was a longtime political leader in the country, which is now in mourning. Hassan Ahmadiyan, a professor at the University of Tehran, says there will be an interim period of leadership.
I don't think there will be huge changes internally or in foreign policy in those interim days.
Raisi, a Shiite Muslim cleric, oversaw brutal crackdowns on a nationwide uprising led by women and girls in 2022. Here in the U.S., the nation's midsection has been slammed with more severe weather.
Okay, we just saw a power flash straight ahead of us. Is that a funnel? Look, it's a funnel straight ahead of us. Straight east of us.
KWTV storm chaser Jeremy Carter in El Reno, Oklahoma, where several twisters have been confirmed. There's severe damage to homes and buildings, and at least two people were injured. We could find out today whether former President Trump will testify at his hush money trial in New York. Even if he doesn't, CBS's Graham Cate says he's found a way to make his voice heard.
They figured out an end run around the gag order, which is that day after day in the trial, they've been bringing in his Republican allies to sit in the first two rows of the proceedings. They're able to leave the courtroom and talk about the witnesses. They could say pretty much whatever they want, at least so far, without it coming back on Trump for the gag order.
Julian Assange could be ordered to the U.S. today to face espionage charges during a key hearing in London's High Court. It hinges on whether American officials guarantee the WikiLeaks founder won't face the death penalty. His wife, Stella Assange.
We hope that the courts do the right thing today and find in Julian's favor. But if they don't, we will take an emergency injunction. We will seek an emergency injunction from the European Court of Human Rights.
Israel's defense minister says his country is ready to broaden its military operation in Rafah as the Pope issues a plea on CBS's 60 Minutes.
Por favor,
please, warring countries, all of them, stop. Stop the war. You must find a way of negotiating for peace.
More of the Pope's historic interview with CBS's Nora O'Donnell in a primetime special on CBS Tonight and Paramount Plus. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Federally funded food pantries in Wisconsin have to stop asking for identification in October. State health officials say the aim is to improve access for people who need it most. But some pantry officials wonder how they'll track demographic information or prevent food shortages. Wisconsin Republicans gathering in Appleton this weekend for the state party convention. Democrats are raising a lot more money these days, but state GOP chair Brian Schimming isn't fazed.
Their cost per vote's pretty high. They dropped over $100 million on Ron Johnson and lost. And so I always tell people what's
money doesn't tell the whole story.
Money does not tell the whole story at all.
Schimming speaking with Wisconsin Eye. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers began OTAs, voluntary off-season practices. The team has a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. Matt LaFleur on what he likes about Hafley's coaching style.
Just to see how he interacts with the guys. You know, he does a great job of giving them the why behind everything we're doing. You know, being able to throw counters to what people are going to do.
NBA. The team that eliminated the Bucks, the Indiana Pacers, winning Game 7 over the Knicks 130-109 in New York to advance in the playoffs. Knicks guard Jalen Brunson suffering a broken hand in the game. Baseball, the Brewers in Miami after losing 9-4 to the Astros. Pat Murphy with praise for Houston catcher and former Brewer Victor Caratini.
And I'll tell you, you want an unsung hero of the weekend, it's Caratini. Caratini did a great job understanding how to get the most out of his pitchers. He made a difference. If it wasn't noticed, Caratini made a difference this weekend.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are on the way today, tonight, and again tomorrow, and there could be heavy rain with any of these thunderstorms. In fact, by tomorrow night, when everything is over and done with, we could have an inch or more of rain. Today's high 72, tonight 58, tomorrow our high 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we kick off the week leading up to Memorial Day weekend with a round of the good, the bad, and oh, please, can we make it stop? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back at 7:06. Nice to have you here on this Monday morning, May 20th, 2024, here on Up North News Radio, where coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will talk with State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein. We'll look back, we'll look forward. We'll look back at the legislative session recently concluded, things that got done, things that didn't get done. Spoiler alert, there's a whole lot of things that didn't get done. Looking ahead, she'll also talk about the new maps, the new state Senate districts, and whether she has found candidates for every one of those races yet. So that's coming up. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is on the way as well. Tomorrow on the program, Matt Rothschild, who had recently retired from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But like so many of the people in retirement, you get bored. You want to stay busy. You still have things to do. You still have gifts to give. So he's going to talk about what he's doing and how it involves civic media. So tune in for that. In the meantime, for those of you watching on Facebook, I mean, look at this mob that we have here today. We have in Waukesha, we have Gregory Wallington Bachmeister. We have Dr. Kristen Lyerly in Green Bay, Selena Heller in Eau Claire. And from the heart of Wisconsin, here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about the rain going through. And apparently that rain bucket's going to get... going to get a workout over the next couple of days here. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. It sure is. This is just the beginning here this morning. But I know in central Wisconsin, we're already waking up to a quarter of an inch, to a lot of places, even in south central Wisconsin, already getting a half an inch to nearly an inch of rain already. And like I said, this is just the beginning. So this is the warm front moving through right now. Temperatures, don't get fooled. They're not going to be nice in 80s anymore. We're actually going to only climb to the mid to upper 60s to some low 70s today. It's going to stay cloudy. It's going to stay dreary too. Now, northwest Wisconsin, you're going to start to see some of this rain ease by the afternoon and kind of wind down. Southern Wisconsin, though, especially southeast Wisconsin, by this afternoon and evening, now your severe weather threat is going to roll in. You are right now in a slight to marginal risk down for the southern half of the state this evening. Now, some storms could be strong. We could look at those large hail and then some heavy downpours and also some gusty winds. Now, in terms of rain totals today, we're still looking at another half an inch to maybe three quarters of an inch, pushing an inch into some of those places into the southern parts of the state today. So some localized flooding is definitely a concern. And that increases through tomorrow because another system hits us tomorrow. And that one's packing an even stronger punch with much more likeliness of severe weather coming out of that one tomorrow night. So this is round one of two as we go through the next 2 days. You're going to need that umbrella, that's for sure, and stay weather savvy.
I sense that the best way to stay weather savvy would to be to stay tuned to this Civic Media radio station.
Absolutely.
I think you got this. That's just fine. Rob says five awesome people on the screen this morning. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate that. Where he says, good morning from Tigerton, rain in 54. He got 4 yard mowing jobs done in Tigerton yesterday and asked for Jane Wheeland's birthday today. My favorite go-go song is Vacation from 1982. Love jamming to that song. The weekend was awesome weather-wise. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate that. Also in the mailbag today, Roger says, it boggles my mind how time flies. Gildan Radner passed away 35 years ago today.
Wow.
That is really something. Let's see. Alicia Saunders, our friend, writes in to say it was a great weekend getting out and connecting with voters. Alicia's running for Assembly District 2,
my district.
Assembly District 2, okay.
Yeah.
During the break, Kristen offered to do a yoga class for all of us to help with stretchiness.
And Pat turned it down heartily.
I did, to which Tony responds, Pat's response of the hell I am, never related to Pat so much, and Roger chimes in, second to that, Tony. So we've got a very active crew commenting on Facebook and YouTube this morning.
Wait a minute, what if we could get the soothing sounds of Brittany Merlot to call it out?
Oh, well now we're changing things. Because
what am I in for?
You're going to be doing the yoga calls, you and that you know, melting butter voice.
And here's the best part, Brittany. You don't have to do a stitch of yoga. All you do is sit there and tell us what to do. Be like,
yes, you just tell us all
downward
what to
facing
do.
Dog.
I'm in.
Yes.
And the moisture is going.
Yoga.
Puppy yoga?
Yeah, how about like something yoga? Like that? Yes.
No, I don't want anything that can relieve itself on me when it's, you know, while I'm trying to do my downward dog thing. Because it's dog leg thing. If you know what I mean.
Oh, these puppies just
any
went
reason
everywhere.
To not do yoga, Pat. You're just finding any reason not to do it. It's just Brittany will give us the poses and then be like, and now go into warrior pose. Moisture will be up 70% this weekend with a hard, heavy rain coming to the northwest.
As long as she can include it with play-by-play, she'll also be, and Pat's knees gave out, and he just face-planted on the mat. You know,
I can do that.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right, again, you can reach us through text or by phone and let us know whether we should be doing yoga or not on the radio. Call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app or you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And for folks wondering, why did you introduce Greg earlier? Is Gregory Wallenton Bach?
Bachmeister, you called me actually.
I did. I put the full, I am sure the full Polish name is Bachmeister, but
Meister's not Polish.
It's close. It's next door. You know, Bach-ski. You could be the Burgermeister.
My goodness. I should be offended.
Wallenton is a great grandfather, you said?
My great great grandfather on my father's side. Great grandfather. Yeah, so.
Okay.
I won't go deep into the story, but we were looking to see if a family member had passed away, and I looked online looking for obituaries, and my father's obituary came up, and it also came up with a website called findagrave.com. This is not a joke. It's
no,
not.
No,
I've seen it.
Yeah. And so I just looked up my father's website or the page on there, and it connects you also to his relatives who have passed away. So I looked at my grandparents, and then I looked at my great grandparents, and then my great great grandparents were on there as well. And I found out, because I've always wondered where my family comes from. We don't have any stories of coming to America. We've been here, I guess, for a long time. And I found out that just at least one set of great great grandparents were born in Poland. And so Wallenton Jaworski was his name. And I'm not kidding you, her name was Annie Borski. That's right, folks. Her name was Annie Borski Jaworski. So
Annie Borski Jaworski. You know, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Did you happen to find out what part of Poland?
Well, actually, so this is where I kind of fail a little bit.
You don't fail. The information does.
Well, the fact that I can't pronounce Polish words.
Oh, that's understandable.
It says where they. It says if I'm not mistaken here, if it's correct, mm-hmm. they were born in Poland, but it gets you to like Poland, the county, and I think even the village. And the words are like, I cannot do them. I can't. It's like lots of Z's next to O's and E's.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, my mind goes back to the Pingles and the Snazas. Yes, my grandmother's birth name was Albina Snaza, and her family was from a town called Zielona Góra, Poland. And others were from Swidwind, and there's all kinds of fun to be had with genealogy.
I'm trying to look it up because I want to see if you can pronounce it.
Oh,
my grandparents were from Koblenz, and all the lines have changed because about what has happened in Europe in the last.
That's why I said that. It's like you're in Poland. Nope. Now you're in Germany. No. Now you're in Poland. No. Now you're in Germany. So
I am okay. Here we go. I'm going to put. It won't let me copy it. Oh well, Genizo. Poet, good. Yeah, that word's not happening.
Okay.
We'll
go with you.
But it's really cool. And there's a gentleman who put in his, on the page, a bunch of information about him that I didn't know. I never knew. I'm very excited.
That's so cool.
I want to email and be like, hi, we're related. Tell me more.
All of this sharing is so neat. So if you do like an ancestry or one of those spit tests, it will actually plug you into, depending on the level of privacy that you're interested in, it'll plug you into your whole family tree. So you can then just go online and the whole thing just unfolds in front of you.
Yeah, I was so hoping that would happen with mine because there's a lot of blank space on our family tree for various reasons. And came back and there were still about as many strange limbs as ever. So I'm starting to think I might have been a lab experiment. But we'll keep working on it. But I was just glad to hear where Wallington came from. So before we let Kristen go, Selena's working on a couple of different stories here. We've been talking about health insurance coverage for IVF. IVF under threat as much as ever now because of the political right wing. And Selena, what's different or what's unique about Wisconsin when it comes to health insurance coverage of IVF?
Well, we don't have any. Nationally, 21 states have passed fertility insurance coverage laws, and 14 include IVF coverage. Wisconsin doesn't have that. So if you want to have fertility treatments or IVF, you're kind of out of luck. It's kind of a hefty price tag, but over the years, Governor Shoni Evers tried to get it in the budget, and that didn't happen. And then last session, Kel DeRoyes and Jody Emerson tried to have a Building Families Act, and it got tabled. Excuse me, but Chris and Rachel Hahn of Elk Mound are a couple of the parents who, over a lot of years, had to go through infertility treatments and IVF in order to have a family. And here is Rachel.
It is an expensive choice. I mean, for us, everything with IVF was out of pocket, everything for infertility leading up to our son and after our son here in Eau Claire was out of pocket, insurance covered nothing. So, you know, for us, family was our priority and we had to make a choice. You know, do we buy a new car? Do we work on our house or do we try and have children?
And that's the kind of choice, Kristen, that I'm sure you have patients facing repeatedly.
Infertility is a medical problem. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many people who are wanting to start families, people who support families, they would agree that insurance should cover infertility treatment.
Mm-hmm. When we come back after the break, we're going to hear from State Senator Jeff Smith. He was part of an event along with Citizen Action, and Selena caught up with him. As you know, in the Chippewa Valley, a couple of hospitals were abruptly put out of business. And so hear what he and Citizen Action have to say about maybe improving hospital corporate oversight. We've got that and more coming up on Up North News Radio in just a bit. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe and I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Scanning through the bathroom, we'll go.
Joe Cocker was born 80 years ago today. Passed away 10 years ago. Honor him today on this May 20th, 2024. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Greg Bach, Pat Kreitlow, all here on Up North News Radio for this Monday morning. Before the break, Selena was talking about health insurance and the lack of coverage for IVF. And in another area related to healthcare, where again, we heard for a generation or two that the answer to healthcare's, you know, challenges and woes would be to unleash market forces. And if hospitals could just run more like a business, everything would be better. And as we found out with that and so many other things, no, that's really good for some profits. It's good for some shareholders, but not really good for patients. Government is not a business. Healthcare, one could argue, not necessarily a business when we're talking about life or death matters here. And so when you had a corporation like HSHS suddenly decide to close up two hospitals in western Wisconsin, Sacred Heart in Eau Claire and St. Joe's in Chippewa Falls, Salina, it got folks at Citizen Action and elected officials like State Senator Jeff Smith wondering if maybe some of the if there aren't other ways for, you know, our elected officials to help watch out for the collective healthcare quality of the Chippewa Valley and other places.
Right. So they all got together last Friday to talk about it, kind of looked at the causes of what is happening. And so they had Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, Annie Ippel, who is a nurse from the Ellie Phillips Libertas Treatment Center, one of the places that shut down a couple of months ago with the hospitals, and David Peterson, who is also a nurse from Ellie Phillips Libertas Center, and a couple of other people. And they just talked about what's happening in all of these and we don't want this to happen again with all of these closures. And Senator Jeff Smith was there, and he talked about, you know, there's no oversight, there's no regulations for these hospitals. So he kind of wanted to get that discussion going. And so this is Senator Jeff Smith.
What happened in Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley, hospital closures, was a warning sign of a system that's broken. And so we need to look at the greater system and how we can avoid having this happen again and bring healthcare back to an affordable place that is accessible to everybody.
Well, that would be nice. And, you know, when they announced this event was going to be happening, my first thought was, geez, I wonder if they're going to advocate for bringing back like the old hospital rate setting commission that you used to have at the state level, the certificate of need, so that, you know, you didn't have overconstruction. And trust me, as somebody, you know, whose wife is a physician, so I hear a lot about healthcare, know a lot about how you can overregulate something, you can make something onerous. But, you know, that lack of oversight is an important point from Senator Smith. And I wonder, Dr. Lyerly, you know, when you hear that and hear about the closures and, you know, corporate decisions that are made, you know, what kinds of challenges, you know, do you think can be addressed at either the state or the congressional level?
It is so complex. This is such a complex issue. And I think most Americans would agree that our healthcare system is fundamentally broken. People can't afford care. Many people are skipping care. They're cutting pills. They're not going in to receive subsequent care. I've had patients who have an abnormal finding on a mammogram, which is covered because preventive care is paid for with Obamacare. But if they have to have additional imaging, that's not paid for. And they just don't, they want to ride it out. They don't want to get that additional imaging to find out if they actually have breast cancer because they can't afford it. This is not healthcare. This is a for-profit industry. And frankly, if we are really trying to take care of people, it needs to change.
Yes, very much so. So we'll, again, Citizen Action talking about that. Did they, Selena, make any other specific suggestions as part of their event, or just simply called for beginning in the discussions on better oversight?
Mostly beginning in the discussion, and Senator Smith said that, you know, he tried to bring that up and wanted it to, a formal discussion in the legislature, and then that kind of got pushed away. So that discussion, he said, is going to now change to his office and then go from there, and then whatever comes for next session.
Sure. And as noted by Tony, a comment on YouTube, my wife commented, it's amazing that hospitals were run better when the medical staff ran them versus big companies with all their quote unquote management skills, which I think gets back to Kristen's point just perfectly. Now, one more story from Selena that she's been working on. And we heard from little Emery lately about, you know, teachers and the work that they do and what's it take to be a teacher and do we appreciate them enough. And the junior reporter for Up North News was busy again, this time doing one of those 60 minutes worthy interviews on the swing set with her principal. Tell us more about that.
This one was in the school. There's a different one, more serious questions outside on the swing set.
Okay. All right. So tell us more about print. So the subject is principals.
Yes. What's it take to be a principal? So yes, I'm already talked to Mr. Ben Dahlman, her principal in Eau Claire. And Mr. Dahlman has been in the Eau Claire Area School District for 24 years and a principal at his school for the last 9.
What's something that people don't know about your job?
One thing most people don't know, I don't like the word boss. I feel like just the word boss kind of means like you're bossing people around, and that's not what it is to be a principal. So I think a lot of our great teachers went into teaching not to boss kids around all day, but to help kids and work with kids. And same thing for me. I think that the most important part of my job is helping teachers and staff members and kids and families. So.
What do you wish you could do more of in your job?
I wish, because there's a lot of paperwork with my job and a lot of emails, I wish there was less paperwork and fewer emails so I could work with kids more, because that's really what I enjoy the most.
What's your favorite thing about being a principal?
A big part of my job is working with the grown-ups in our building. My favorite part is working with the kids.
Of course, look at that. He just nailed it all.
She's so cute.
What I like is that on the video version, which we'll be posting on the Up North News social media sites, you see that she's written the questions out in her notebook, you know, her reporter notebook. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to see some kind of an outtake, you know, where she turns the page. Then the next one is, how much money do you make? And then watch him kind of go, some other question.
I want to see like, what do you say to the allegations of corruption within the educational system in Wisconsin? Why will our leaders not fund us?
Oh my goodness.
It's not that you're not doing your best, Selena, but if you're going to be training the journalists of tomorrow, we've got to get to some of those hard hitting questions as well.
We'll try you get one more time. Year of cutesy, Selena. After that, hard hitting news.
After that,
this is a strategy, kind of, you know, okay. Come in a little.
If that girl doesn't have a Peabody this time next year, I don't know. We're going to have to. Kristen, raising 4 boys. You got any good stories from principals who either admired the boys or called you in once or twice and said, we got problems with this one?
Nope. Oh, I got good. No good stories. Nope. I have no stories, to be clear.
That's okay.
Good or bad.
That's okay. Coming up Thursday on Women in Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good, we are talking to Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer. And coming up next, we're talking to State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein. Kristen, thank you so much. Have a great day and a good week.
Thanks,
Selena,
guys. You
as well.
Well, thank you. You too.
We'll have our discussion with Senator Hesselbein coming up next. You're Up North.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
You're probably familiar with June dairy celebrations that happen across the state, but do you know how they got started? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. A little history lesson for you on the way.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it?
Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No!
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
From breakfasts on the farm to parades and everything in between, Wisconsin's all in celebrating June as Dairy Month. Erica Shade, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Community and Schools Manager, explains how it all got started.
So June Dairy Month began in 1937, and it was used to promote drinking milk. And it actually started as National Milk Month because there was a surplus of milk, and the National Milk Month was helped to stabilize the dairy demand of that. In 1939, June Dairy Month became the official title, so we could focus more on all of our great dairy products and not just fluid milk.
Taking us back with a little history on why Wisconsin celebrates June Dairy Month, that's Erica Shade. She's the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Community and Schools Manager. Interested in finding events near you? Go to wisconsindairy.org.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And the state capitol may be quiet right now, but elected officials are still talking policy back in district. One of those, State Representative Travis Tranel. He chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. One area he's continuing to focus in on is the Agricultural Road Improvement Program. Tranel says it's been very, very popular in its initial year. First round of grant applications were received back in April. He said the Department of Transportation is projecting that they had over 500 applications, and if they were able to fund all of those applications, it would have amounted to about $1 billion in state investment for improvement in rural infrastructure. One other area that Tranel says will need further discussion and debate, managing foreign ownership of agricultural land in Wisconsin. That one, he says, is still in need of more discussion. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are on the way today, tonight, and again tomorrow, and there could be heavy rain with any of these thunderstorms. In fact, by tomorrow night, when everything is over and done with, we could have an inch or more of rain. Today's high 72, tonight 58, tomorrow our high 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Consider the folks at Family Natural Foods for everything you need for your planting season. They have been helping people select just the right seeds since 1946. Choose from an extensive variety of healthy-for-you organic and heirloom seeds. Growing your own food is one of the best steps you can take in empowering your health. Katrina, Stephen, and their friendly staff at Family Natural Foods are knowledgeable about garden planning and soil health. That's Family Natural Foods, Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Thank you.
Welcome back, or at least I hope it's a welcome back at 7:35 now on this Monday morning, May 20th, as the power had gone out over here. Greg, it happened to you right before 6, and it happened to me right before coming back from this break.
I saw the no anything on the screen. I'm like, oh, no.
I had gone to fill my coffee cup. I come back, and I see a black screen where my face is supposed to be, and it was like, rut-roll.
Oh, I just heard someone in my someone going, vamp, vamp. I'm like, you guys want to talk about guitars?
I will tell you that right here, I'll show my phone. Yeah. I had just dialed up 855-75 Civic, and I'm like, all right, we're doing this over the phone, and was just about to hit the little green button when the camera came back up. So with that little blip set aside, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
For real. Yeah, here at Up North News Radio, and let's bring in, thankfully, the connection is good with Senator Dianne Hesselbein to tell us more about what's happening in the legislature and on the campaign trail this year. Senator Hesselbein, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for rolling with the punches here on a sometimes stormy morning, a rainy morning across parts of Wisconsin here. So, and actually, what prompted when I first knew that there was an internet outage, you know, the lights didn't go out, but was I was looking up some of our coverage of the last legislative session. And so I put in a little search term, and I put in Hesselbein because I wanted to see, you know, press releases and things that you'd done. And it was just spinning and spinning. And I'm like, it's not that hard. She's busy. There's a lot of press releases and things that mention your name. And when no search results came up, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't see myself on camera. And so anyway, now that that has all come up, I am reminded again, looking back at some of the coverage of the attempt by your Republican colleagues to override vetoes of just how chaotic the last session ended. And it seemed somewhat apt, given, you know, the lack of tangible accomplishments in many ways in this last legislative session, you know, after 12 plus years of Republican rule. So now I'd like your own take before we look ahead to the campaign, looking back at the session. And, you know, I don't know, maybe the grade you'd give it or the overview of, you know, what was able to be done in your chamber.
Yeah, well, the last week, the session was awful when they did the veto overrides. We, you know, we know at the end of the day, the Republicans are going to have their votes, right? Mm-hmm. But it's always sort of we get along, we try to get along. But they, at the end of the day, they have their way, but they always let the minority have their say. But they didn't this time. They shut us down. They used procedures. We tried using procedures. The procedures that were legal that we tried to use, they wouldn't even recognize us. So that's where it got frustrating. It's like, if you just let us make our points, you don't have to silence us. We know you're going to have the numbers to override the governor's veto, but there's no reason not to let us talk. And so that was the frustrating thing. And they were trying to override the governor's veto, everything from PFAS, student teaching requirements, modification public buildings, and then also override the governor's veto about the awful hospital closings that are happening in Eau Claire and Chippewa counties, and how the governor wants to get the $15 million out the door to get it to work, and the Republicans are holding that money hostage. So very frustrating. Senator Jeff Smith was extremely frustrated as well, because they wouldn't even let him talk about this horrible hospital closing in his district. So it reminded me a lot of Act 10, and I wasn't here for that.
And you referred to it as the last gasp of a gerrymandered majority. Right. And it does have a feeling out there, kind of, you know, a torch is being passed moment where, you know, and again, we'll talk to your assembly colleague, Greta Neubauer, talking about chasing down, you know, 15 seats for a potential, you know, majority there. And even if it's not a majority, the whole notion of having fairer maps and what you think the legislature is going to look like next year when you have more competitive, fairer maps, more competitive races. What do you think next year? How will next year look differently?
Well, you know, next year's already started because the work has been starting already for these campaigns. So we've already started work. We've got the Senate, as you know, is only up every 4 years. So that's unfortunate. We really wanted to get everybody running again so that we'd really have fair maps that represent the will of the people. But the Supreme Court decided not to do that. So we're up every 4 years. So a lot of people aren't up right now. So we are really, the first time, I'll say this much. The first time in 20 years, we have a Senate Democrat running in every single race, which is really exciting. We're just so excited about this. And a lot of these people self-selected. A lot of them started calling me saying, I'd like to run against this person, or I'd like to run here, and they're quality candidates. We're really focusing, though, on five. One of them is, of course, keeping Brad Paff here. He's the only incumbent that we're really, really focusing on, just because he's had tough races in the past. But in the numbers that we look at about how people run races, Evers won that seat, the one that Brad Paff's running for, about 55%. So we're feeling pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're also looking at Jamie Wall. He's running in Green Bay. I think you just had Dr. Lyerly on. Jamie's great. He's running for the 30th. And the numbers there were like 53%. So for Evers. So that's pretty good. When Democrats show up, we do well. So we have to just make sure that those people are motivated and showing up. Kristen Alfine is running in the new Appleton Oshkosh seat. She ran last session against last cycle against Senator Rachel Cabral Cabrera and lost by a narrow margin, but she worked really hard. So this seat would have her run now. And that looks really good for us number wise. Finally, the 14th, we have a mental health provider, Sarah Kieski. She is running against Republican Joan Balwig. And that one with Evers is about a 55% Democratic seat. And we like Sarah's chances there. Joan was an author of the No Abortions, Not Even the Case of Rape, Incest, or Health of the Mother. And I don't think that's going to do very well in Dane and Sauk County. Finally, we have Jody Habish-Simikin running in the 8th against Senator Dewey Strobel. And that's about, that'll be one of our closest ones, honestly. That's like a 51% seat, so a Democratic seat, we think. So once again, if Democrats show up and are motivated, we're really looking forward to the fall.
And I'm happy to say that all of those folks have, been exposed to our audience on Up North News Radio. I'm sure we'll have them on again between
Great.
Now
Thank you.
And awesome. Election day. And again, the fact that so many of them, self-recruited, the way that I did way back in 2005, when you say, okay, I've just seen enough. I want to see, what's involved in making some changes here. When you've got that level of self-recruitment, when you've got a strong incumbent like Tammy Baldwin on the ballot, and you've got Joe Biden who can run on a record of accomplishments, it certainly sounds like, again, even in a closely divided state like Wisconsin, unlike past years, it's going to be a fair fight.
I think so too. I think with these fair maps, and I think a lot of that had to do with, their self-selection too, because they were like, hey, with fair maps, I can give this a shot and I might have a shot at this. Mm-hmm. And before it didn't feel that way. Why it was an uphill battle with these gerrymandered maps. So I'm excited. They're doing great. They're doing call time. They're knocking on doors. Some of them have already turned in the signatures, like 600, 700 signatures already. So that's pretty exciting. They're really, and their communities are excited. It's wonderful.
What was it like for you? Did you self-select? Were you recruited when you ran for legislature initially?
I first ran for school board in 2005, self-selected, mm-hmm. and saw an issue there. And then from there, I went from county board and then from Dane County Board to the assembly, and then did that for 10 years. And then Senator Erpenbach retired. And then I was like, oh, well, this is an opportunity. So I just kind of kept moving.
Very nice. Diane Hasselbein is our guest, by the way, the minority leader for the state Senate. And we're talking about the campaigns this year and having candidates in every district to be running this year. I'm coming back to the PFAS issue because, as I've stated numerous times, just because I believe it to be the case. And it's not necessarily your job, but I think other people are going to bring up PFAS. And the fact that Republicans are still sitting on $125 million, that they would rather allow water to stay contaminated than to spend a dime to clean it up. And they can take shots at Governor Evers all day long. But I think that when you're letting drinking water sit contaminated, I just have a feeling that moderate voters are going to look at that and say, how about if you play these games later and you just get going on this? I don't know if that's going to be a central part of your message, but I wonder what you at least think of the public reaction to that. Or do you feel like these races are going to be decided on too many other things?
No, I think that's going to be part of it. I think Wisconsinites want people to know that you can turn on their tap and have safe, clean drinking water for their families. The fact that we have people all over the place having to do bottled water, how expensive that is, how how it's not great for the environment. And actually, we have to get the PFAS out, right? And we have to let the scientists do their jobs, which is what I talked about on the floor. I'm not a scientist, but I trust the Department of Natural Resources to get in there, find out who the polluters are, and to hold them accountable and to get it out. And that's something Republican parties did not want to do. They were just protecting the polluters in this. And it should never be that way. The governor was clear about what kind of a bill he would sign to get into law to help solve this problem. The Republicans would not listen. They did not want to hold polluters accountable. And that's the problem.
That is the problem. And I again, because far too often we've seen how the big business lobby, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, will go to bat legally to protect polluters. There's no wonder why, being such large funders of Republican campaigns, you wouldn't assume that about Republicans. But to be fair, I'm going to ask it in their vein, because I want to know exactly what your response to it is. And it goes something like this, that the partial vetoes by Governor Evers mean that innocent landowners are going to be affected, and that we, the Republicans, are the watchdogs for the innocent landowners. And it's Governor Evers who is the holdup to all of this. And that's their story, and they're sticking to it. So when I'm sure you're going to hear that in your district and others, what do you tell them?
Show me. Show me a time when the innocent landowners were held accountable, because that's not what we want to do. And Governor Evers also talked with them and said, give me something very narrow and let's work on language. That's not what we want to do. We have to hold polluters accountable. And the Republicans were not willing to go there. I was having a private conversation. I won't say with who, but it was with a Republican. I said, let's try to get there. Let's try to, you know, figure this out together. And they told me that they are in between the Department of Natural Resources and WMC. And I said, that's no way. You shouldn't be in between the lobbying business and the Department of Natural Resources. This has to do with natural resources and science, not Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce. And I don't know who or what Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce is trying to protect. Do they know something we don't know? I don't know. That makes me nervous as well.
Well, it should, because, again, it comes back to those of us of a certain age and older saying, you know, there was once a time when we tried to solve these problems, and then we'd, you know, figure out, you know, how to pay for them. But right now we're just leaving this, you know, drinking water unaddressed. The other issue that's been brought up year after year after year is Medicaid expansion, and not either Medicaid expansion overall, where Wisconsin is one of only 9 or 10 states to not expand, or at least expand it for postpartum care a year after birth, where Wisconsin is now down to one of, I think, 3 states that doesn't do this. And again, specifically because of the opposition of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Is this the year that with voters they say, why are we such outliers and losing out on so much money and so much health care security?
I hope so. I think it's every year when we've been doing this and explaining it to people, because people care. But I think finally, now that we don't have these gerrymandered maps in the majorities, that we're going to actually finally be able to see maybe more happen with this, especially more when we win elections in November. It'll be tight in the Senate, but hopefully with some negotiation, we can get these things done. It's just terrible. Honestly, we should be giving our friends and neighbors the best health care possible. For years, they were saying, you know, when Obama leaves, we're going to unravel Obamacare. When Republicans have the presidency, the Congress, and the U.S. Senate. Well, they did. They couldn't unravel it. Something that's here to stay. And they're still saying they don't care for publicly funding health care. And right now, Wisconsin is. So we would save that money on our own budgets, which we could put towards the hospitals at HHS, right? We could do things like that or clean up the PFAS, but they just are. Robin Voss is just deadlocked into that issue and cannot really explain it in a way that makes any sense.
Senator Dianne Hesselbein, Senate Minority Leader, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll look forward to checking in with you throughout the coming campaign.
Well, this went really quickly. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And get out there, find someone you believe in, and help out on the campaign.
Thank you, Dianne. We appreciate it very much. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell coming up next with 3 things you need to know to start the week. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility.
He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Again, tomorrow on the program, Matt Rothschild, retired from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now working on a new podcast series with Civic Media. We'll have details on that coming up tomorrow. And Sharita Booker, social media manager for Up North News, will tell us about some of the stories that are most read, most clicked on, most watched on the Up North News posts. Meanwhile, Civic Media has their news director, Terry Bell, and he's here now, like every Monday, to tell us three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, how's your weekend?
It was nice. It was busy. It was a working weekend. I was up in Appleton Saturday with the Republican State Convention. And then I was kind of did a little head start on Monday, as I often do on Sunday.
Yes, so, you do. Yeah. But
weather was glorious.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's start there with three things you need to know that Wisconsin Republicans did hold their convention over the weekend in Appleton. Talk to us a bit more about either the themes or the personalities that were a part of it.
Sure. Well, the theme, I would say mostly the big takeaway is this is a party that continues its move to the right. And that was evidence in the resolutions that were passed at the convention at the end of the day on Saturday, calling for the impeachment of Megan Wolf, the state tops election official, declaring abortion, quote, the murder of an unborn child, and calling for the elimination of the state income tax. There were also resolutions taking positions on things like, people of which gender can use which bathrooms, that sorts of things, of girls and boys and transitioning young people in girls and women's sports, that sort of thing. So definitely a cultural bent to a lot of the priorities. Congressman Byron Donalds, he's a frequent surrogate for Donald Trump. He brought down the House. His speech went over extremely well. And they elected a couple of members to the Democratic National Committee.
Republican National Committee in this case.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Trust me, if they got some people elected to the Democratic National Committee, that'd be awesome.
Wow, that was okay. Huh. I'll be darned. Okay. Anyway, Terry Dittrich and Pam Travis. Pam Travis, notable for helping submit a false slate of electors or Donald Trump back in 2020.
So. That's the thing. The fake electors are still getting mileage. Again, the cultural and gender issues, impeaching Megan Wolf, again, with zero evidence of anything. There was just a lot there. There was a lot there to work with, shall we say, from a content perspective, if you have, say, a talk show. But if you're a voter looking forward, that might be a little different. Like you said, the drift to the right is there. But to put the matter back on elections themselves, in the 8th Congressional District up in Northeast Wisconsin, where Dr. Lyerly is running, and at least three Republicans, all to succeed Mike Gallagher, things are going to be a little different, perhaps, from a ballot standpoint. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, this is a very unique situation. So what you have is, former Congressman Mike Gallagher, he stepped down a few weeks ago, which created the need for a special election. And that is because something that is baked into the Wisconsin statutes. If there is a vacancy in the U.S. Senate or U.S. House between the second Tuesday in April and the second Tuesday in May of the year of the general election, then the special election must be held, and it must be held during the partisan primary and the general election. So what you're going to have is the same race on the ballot twice, in the primary and the general. So to try to boil this down and make it as simple as possible, and it's hard because it's confusing, basically what voters will be choosing will be the person to represent them from that point up until January 3rd, and then they will be choosing the person to represent them after January 3rd.
Right. Basically the interim period between Election Day and the first day of the new session in January. If they didn't hold a special election, the seat would sit vacant all the way until January. But by doing a special election for the seat in November, you can then swear somebody in November, so the seat will only be vacant until November instead of January, which means it's possible, if people want to split their vote, you could have somebody serving in Congress for, you know, a month and a half, and then somebody differently being sworn in on January 3rd. Conceivably. It could. But what's more likely to happen is a whole lot of people are going to be confused at the ballot box on Election Day. And I already feel I have such empathy for election workers, and it's going to be a little busier for them.
Yeah. The election officials will be very busy in the 8th district trying to educate people as much as they can.
And by the way, always looking for good people to serve at the local level as elections workers. If you have any interest at all, contact your local clerk. It would be so important. And finally, we haven't said it enough. This is the week heading into Memorial Day weekend. Going to be awesome. Going to be busy as well.
Oh, yeah. So what this should be is the busiest year on the road and in the air since the pandemic. AAA says nearly 44 million Americans will either drive or fly. Not only is that the busiest since the pandemic, but that would be the second busiest in the last 20 years. So clearly, people are itching to get back out again. Airlines are offering some incentives now. The FAA Reauthorization Act that was just passed last week. So from now on, it's going to be easier to travel. Say when you fly, you don't have to request an automatic refund for significant delays or cancellations. If your flight is canceled or rescheduled, you choose not to fly. You don't have to fill out a bunch of forms. It's just you will just get re-debited right back instantly. Family seating will be much less of a hassle now. No extra fees to try to get your 4, 5, 6 people together in adjoining seats. And travel credits, you have to use them up within a year. Now you have 5 years to use up any travel credits that you accrue. So
good to know, because I once took up the offer to be bumped from a flight for a voucher, and that particular one was 3 years, and I tried to use it last year. Folks might remember me talking about that, and airline prices at that point were so ridiculously high that even with the voucher, it wasn't worth using it. So 5 years would have been nice to be able to hold on to that. So that's good information. It sounds like one of the three things I need to know.
We aim to please here. Right. We're working.
Ding,
we're doing
ding,
our best.
Ding.
We're learning something here. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Bach, we'll see you at 10 a.m. with Matt and Air on Air. Have a wonderful start to your day and to all of you as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for being here. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Toomey and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who gives us an overview of summer weather and tells us how to deal with ticks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.